Hello, my name is Larry Holmstrom. I'm a supporter of Senator Terry Miller for the United States Senate. We want to make that clear at the outset of this program, because this is going to be a 30-minute interview program with Senator Terry Miller. The questions that I'm about to ask Senator Miller have not been rehearsed. Senator Miller is not aware of what I'm about to ask him. I'm phrasing these questions as I think perhaps many Alaskan newsmen would phrase them. First of all, Senator Miller, in your announcement speech, you talked about a money gap between you and your opponents. What does it take to wage a successful campaign in the Alaskan primary?
Well, never having waged a statewide campaign before, Larry, I cannot answer that question definitively. But I suspect the final answer will rest with the people themselves. It's my hope, as I indicated in my announcement speech, to wage a one-to-one, person-to-person, Alaskan-to-Alaskan kind of campaign. Talk about the issues that I think are important to Alaskans and that they think are important to them. I intend to spend some money in the media this year, no question about it, enough, just enough, to get my story across. Then I'm going to rely on sweat equity, just getting out, meeting the people, to get my story across.
Well, now, you did talk in your announcement speech about wanting to concentrate on issues rather than images, and yet you were the first statewide candidate to run some media spots. How much traveling do you really expect to be able to do between now and the primary election?
Well, first of all, about those early on media spots, I'm not really spending any more than any of my competitors. In fact, before this is all said and done, I'll have spent a great deal less on the media. But what I am spending, I'm spending differently. I'm distributing it differently. That's the only difference. I intend to hit the road fairly actively once this legislative session that we're now in concludes. Of course, my duties in the Senate leadership preclude my traveling extensively now. But once that's over, I'm going to hit the road.
Have you engaged an outside political consulting firm or advertising agency to prepare your media material or advise you on campaign tactics?
No, I haven't, Larry, nor do I intend to do so. I'm going to use Alaskan talent right here in Alaska to tell what I hope will be an Alaskan story.
Well, what do you see as if you had to single out one main issue of the most significance in this race for the U.S. Senate, what in your mind would it be?
Well, first of all, Larry, before this campaign goes to the wire, we're going to be talking about a lot of different issues, a lot of specifics that will be of interest to the people of Alaska. But I think probably the one strain that will run through this entire campaign, the one single most crucial issue, will simply be what kind of United States Senator that the people of Alaska want representing them is the most important legislative body in the world. And that's what it really boils down to.
If I could go back to your announcement speech again, you did make reference to the incumbent, Senator Gravel, but you made no mention of your only announced primary opponent, Senator C.R. Lewis. A Fairbanks paper speculated recently that you must not consider Senator Lewis a serious threat. Is he?
Well, Larry, I wouldn't want to characterize the candidacy or his chances of Senator Lewis in the primary. He's a good personal friend. I've served with him for, 5, 6 years now in the state Senate. And he's an able spokesman for the conservative cause. I think I'll simply let it go at that. The issue of this campaign is the seat in the United States Senate and the incumbent who's currently occupying it. And I intend to frame the issues in terms of him and no one else.
But most people involved in government seem to hate to be characterized or labeled. I think, though, it's fair to say that Senator Lewis would wear the name of conservative and probably wear it proudly. Senator Gravel has been characterized as a liberal. Where would you put yourself in the spectrum?
I don't go along with those stereotypes. I think they're probably too much overworked. I'd like to just call each issue on its merit as it comes up and let the people decide what I am. That's what I've tried to do in the state legislature for the last 8 years, and if I'm sent to the Senate, that's what I'll try to do in the United States Senate.
Now, you characterized Senator Gravel recently as one, I think you said, too busy in other pursuits to properly perform his duties as a United States Senator for Alaska. What other pursuits are you talking about, Senator Miller?
Well, I think one of the most legitimate criticisms of Senator Gravel's record in the Congress is his inattentiveness to Alaskan issues, bread-and-butter issues, not very glamorous issues, but are important back home, as opposed to his preoccupation with national issues. And I simply think that because of Alaska's unique relationship with the federal government, because of the heavy federal presence in Alaska, through our heavy public land ownership, through our heavy reliance on the defense establishment here in the state, and so many other facets, that a United States Senator from Alaska has an extraordinary obligation to pay attention to Alaskan issues. And I frankly don't think the incumbent's done that in this instance. And that's one of the major campaign issues that I want to discuss this election.
Well, I take it then that you'd see your day-to-day function
as a United States Senator differently than Senator Gravel does. Your conduct in office on a daily basis, the things you'd be doing.
Larry, the role of the United States Senator is many and varied. Certainly the legislative role is important, but you do more than legislate, you also coordinate. I would hope that I would act as something of an ombudsman to many Alaskans, for example, who have grievances or who have liaison activities that need to be performed with federal agencies or similar type activities which affect Alaskans here as they relate to the federal government. A lot of it's just detail work, hard, unglamorous detail work, but it's got to be done. And I would spend quite a bit of time doing that.
You've already begun to take a few pokes at the incumbent. Do you intend to say some of these things to him in some kind of face-to-face confrontation if you're successful in the primary?
Well, absolutely. First of all, I intend to take the high road, and I want to discuss those issues which I think are important to the people of Alaska and the senator's record only as it relates to the important issues of this campaign. But I don't want to take unfair advantage of him. I'd like to debate Senator Gravel in the general election, frankly. I want to get in the same room at the same time and discuss the same issues with him and give him an opportunity to answer it, if he can.
You know, I believe Joe Napolitan, who did Senator Gravel's 1968 media campaign, has characterized him as the most media-conscious member of the United States Congress. You feel on a one-to-one basis like that, that you can hold your own against?
Well, I don't think there's any question that Senator Gravel probably is one of the most media-conscious members of the United States Senate. That probably ought to be. As you'll recall, anyone who was here in Alaska in 1968, he was trailing a former Senator Ernest Green considerably in all the reputable polls right up until he hit the state with a very slick, beautifully executed 30-minute documentary, quote-unquote. And it was highly successful and put him in the United States Senate. And frankly, because of his inattentiveness to Alaskan issues, I can only assume that Senator Gravel is going to rely on a similar type of mechanism this campaign to get his story across. I'm willing to let the people of Alaska judge as to whether or not that's an effective way to communicate with the voters. My only caveat is, watch for it. It's coming. It's going to be there. The only difference is that Senator Gravel will be there on film. I hope to be there in person.
We've heard rumblings already that a sequel is in production by Mr. Napolitan, who has a nationwide reputation in that field. And so how do you plan to combat that sort of thing?
I hope to do it just by pressing the flesh, meeting as many Alaskans as possible, and utilizing the airwaves, of course, to get what I feel is a legitimate story across. I'm willing to leave the final judgment to the voters. I think they're, generally speaking, a great deal more intelligent than most politicians give them credit for.
Okay, you've given us some idea of what you think some of Senator Gravel's weaknesses are. What do you think some of your strengths are?
Well, I hope it would be my knowledge of Alaska and my experience in government. I, of course, was raised in the state. I've traveled the state extensively, went to college here, married a girl who was born here, had my family here. I spent a great deal of time in government, 3 years on the borough assembly and city council in Fairbanks. And you know, at that local level, you really learn a lot about government, Larry. You really learn what affects people the most in their everyday lives. I think that kind of grassroots experience is vital, particularly as you climb the ladder all the way to the federal government. And then I spent 8 years right here in the state legislature, had varied experience, worked with people from all over the state on all kinds of problems. And I think that it's probably given me some insights that would be very valuable in the United States Senate. It would be interesting to note, for example, my experience factor against that of the incumbents. I've been in government twice as long as Senator Gravel had when he went to the United States Senate in 1968.
Is age going to be a factor in this campaign? You're 31.
I don't think so, not for the very reasons which I've just articulated. People of Alaska, I think, are going to judge me and all other candidates on the relevant qualifications and not anything else. And I don't think age is relevant in this race.
Incidentally, if you were successful, would you be the youngest United States Senator?
No, not by any means. There's a United States Senator, a very capable one, a fine Democratic Senator by the name of Joe Biden from Delaware, who was elected 2 years ago, and he's younger than I.
Now, let's make a couple of major assumptions here. First of all, that you win the primary, and secondly, that you win the general.
Well, they are major assumptions.
In the U.S. Senate, what committee assignment would you seek, and why?
The most important committee assignment to Alaska in the United States Senate is a seat on the Interior and Insular Affairs Committee. So important is that committee to Alaska that when Senator Stevens and Senator Gravel both went to the United States Senate in 1969 together as first termers, the United States Senate recognized that that committee played such an important role in the future of Alaska that they allowed both of them to go on the committee at the same time. It's very unusual. Generally, they try to break out the state delegation and not let any two senators from any one state on the same committee at the same time. They made an exception. I think that shows how important that committee is to Alaska. But because of the lure of other committee assignments, no longer is there any United States senator from Alaska on that committee. I would try to get on it. I believe I could get on it because the Congress would recognize how important that is to our state here. If I did get on it, Larry, I would not get off of it until I was replaced by another Alaskan U.S. senator.
And Senator Gravel vacated that committee assignment for one that might have, I guess it has a higher degree of interest on the national level, but perhaps not as much effectiveness as far as localized Alaskan issues are concerned?
Well, I would let the senator himself explain why he left the committee. I can only say that there is no more important committee to this state than the Interior and Insular Affairs Committee, and there's no Alaskan on it.
Are there a few key votes that have been taken in the U.S. Senate in which you found yourself thinking on the other side of the issue from the way that Senator Gravel voted on that issue?
I'm certain that there are, and unquestionably they'll come out in this campaign. Incidentally, there probably are many in which I would agree with his vote. But the single greatest problem with Senator Gravel's voting record are the many, many times when he didn't vote at all. In fact, the first 2 years in the United States Senate, he voted less than he did vote. And his overall attendance record is barely above 60%. Which means that for well in excess of one-third of the time, Alaska was not represented in the United States Senate by one of its two United States senators. And that's the greatest single problem with Senator Gravel's voting record.
Now, what's your reply, Senator Miller, to those who say that the Republican Party should be repudiated at the polls because of Watergate? Do you think that'll be a major campaign issue in this election?
Well, I'd be less than candid if I didn't say it was a worry. Certainly that's something that everyone of my party affiliation must think about. But frankly, I have a great deal of faith in the voters of the state, and I don't think they're going to hold me or anyone else in Alaska responsible for the acts of a few committed thousands of miles away in a totally different environment. So I don't believe that Watergate, in terms of my candidacy, is going to make much difference.
Now, you've talked about Senator Gravel being too busy in other things to devote his time to Alaskan issues. What are some of the Alaskan issues you think Senator Gravel hasn't devoted enough attention to?
Well, just cover the entire gamut of issues as they relate to Alaska. Our land policy, environment, economic development, the entire gamut as they relate to Alaska. And to turn the question around, how can a senator who's been so involved in national issues possibly have time to get into the depth that's necessary to represent the interests of the state? It's just physically impossible for any one man to do that. And once again, as the campaign develops, we'll be getting to talk about specific issues in which the senator either was not there to be recorded or was too busy in other things to play an active part.
I take it from that we can safely assume that if elected, you don't have too much interest in running for the vice presidency.
That's fair. I want to be fair about this. Unquestionably, a United States senator has national obligations. His duties transcend state boundaries. On many issues, he's going to have to develop time and expertise because it's important to every American citizen, as an American, including Alaskans. But it's a question of emphasis. It's a question of balance. And on the whole, a United States senator from Alaska, because of the federal presence here, must devote more time to the particular problems of his state than any other United States senator must from any other state.
Talking about national issues, though, have you done any boning up, or do you plan to do any boning up on issues that wouldn't naturally come before you in the role of a state legislator that you may be exposed to in the U.S. Senate?
Larry, there's no question about it. If I go to the United States Senate next January, there's going to be a learning process that'll have to take place. And I'm going to try to do what I think every successful United States senator does in his first couple of years in office. I'm going to listen and learn. And I'm going to participate to the degree that I have the expertise in the national issues. I'm going to really home in early on those issues about which I feel I have a great deal of expertise. And those are Alaskan issues as they relate to Alaska.
Now, most incumbents run among other things, their seniority. And most non-incumbents or challengers say that seniority isn't necessarily all that important. I put the question to you, what about Senator Gravel's 6 years seniority? I would imagine he's going to say that that's of some importance.
Well, certainly he is, and well, he should. But first of all, I can only say, what good is seniority if you don't use it? And for over a third of the time throughout his tenure in the United States Senate, Senator Gravel could not have used it because he wasn't recorded.
Secondly, and perhaps more importantly, is seniority is falling into some disrepute in the United States Senate now. It's being modified almost every Congress, where it's becoming less and less important of a factor. And the Congress is finally saying the length of time in which you serve in a body is not necessarily important. It's what you do, it's what you bring to it, it's what you contribute. And I think that's the real test of a legislator. And I think that's the test the people of Alaska ought to apply this election, not just necessarily how long a man's been drawing a paycheck or been sitting in a seat.
Well, how do you answer those who might say that we shouldn't have two Republican United States senators representing Alaska, especially in a democratically controlled Senate?
That's a good question, and once again, that's one that I'm sure certain that most Alaskans will be asking themselves. So to answer that, I think I'll just draw upon the experience of the two closest states to Alaska. There are certainly many, many other examples. The state of Washington is represented by two prominent members of the Democratic Party in the United States Senate, Senator Henry Jackson and Senator Warren Magnuson. In fact, they're rated number one and two in effectiveness in the Congress, by the way. And they've done an excellent job representing the interests of their state, both as Democrats under Republican and Democratic administrations, under Republican and Democratic-controlled Congresses. Move just one state to the south, you've got the state of Oregon, where you've got two very articulate, very aggressive United States senators representing Oregon, Mark Hatfield and Bob Packwood. Both Republicans, both do a very credible job representing their state in the Congress. The real test is what will a person do when he gets there. To say that it's important to have a balance is to assume that the most important qualification of a candidate is his political party affiliation. I don't believe that. I think Alaskans are going to vote for the man.
Well, you brought up an interesting point. You mentioned that Senators Magnuson and Jackson, maybe I should have put it the other way around, are rated 1 and 2 in effectiveness in the United States Senate. I believe you're referring to the Nader group poll that was taken among, I think, administrative assistants on Capitol Hill. And Senator Gravel was ranked very low in that. Do you plan to make that an issue?
Well, Senator Gravel was rated very low. In fact, he tied for the least effective senator as opposed to Senator Jackson, who was clearly in front of the most effective senator. Well, frankly, I'm going to discuss that, but I want to do that with Senator Gravel face-to-face when he accepts my debate, and perhaps he'll have an answer. But I don't think this would be an appropriate forum to discuss it. I want to give him an opportunity to reply.
Talking about relative strength and so on, polling seems to be getting to be more and more an integral part of statewide campaigns all across the country. Have you engaged in any polling to this point?
I'm not engaged in any statewide polling. Frankly, it's an expensive process, and I don't have that kind of money in this campaign. I don't anticipate having the luxury of having that much money this campaign. I have engaged in some select polling, and I suspect that's over. I don't really think it's important. I think that by meeting Alaskans throughout my travels in different contexts and different circumstances, I'm going to find out from them what's more important than from a pollster who may have talked to just a few of them. Besides, there's only one poll that really counts, and that'll happen in November.
Well, what are some of the areas in which you feel that you've had a major part in the enactment of legislation beneficial to Alaskans in the State House and Senate over the last 8 years?
Well, I'm not going to tick off some of the acts which I've sponsored or some of the amendments which I've co-authored. I think it's just fair to say that over the years, through my service in the Finance Committee, through my service as Chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and then Chairman of the Senate Rules Committee, and finally as President of the State Senate, in countless ways I've had an impact on legislation which I think has helped mold the state. And by service there, through activity there, I've gained a broad insight into the needs of Alaska, which can be now represented on the federal level.
Traditionally, Democrats in this state, I think, have seemed to do better in statewide elections in the Bush than Republicans. How do you assess your chances in the Bush?
Well, I'm going to do to rural Alaskans what I'm going to attempt to do with urban Alaskans. I'm going to go out there and meet them and talk about the problems which they think are important and some of the solutions which I have to offer. And I think I'll just have to wait and see what they do when we go to the polls.
Have you begun putting together a campaign organization? Are you still looking for help?
Well, you bet. First of all, I'm not going to have a large or professional staff. I'm going to rely heavily on volunteers in every city and village in Alaska. And anybody who wants to sign up, certainly welcome. I'd be glad to talk with anyone at any time, not just about working on my campaign, but just about what some of the issues of this campaign are.
Well, I've heard rumors about considerable proportions of campaign monies for Alaskan statewide candidates coming from outside the state of Alaska, from varied interests, and from big oil to you name it. Can you give us any idea of what kind of a proportion of campaign monies you would expect to draw in from outside of Alaska, and how much would come from within Alaska?
Well, first of all, because the federal campaign reporting laws which I favor, I'm glad they're on the books. All Alaskans will know where I get my campaign war chest, as well as where my opponents do. And I think I ought to study those campaign contributions and make whatever judgments they feel are proper under the circumstances. Now, because an office of the United States Senate is a national office that carries heavy national policy implications, there will be some contributions to my as well as to my opponents' campaigns from outside the state. But basically, I would expect, when it's all said and done, a great share of the money which I spend in this election to come from my fellow Alaskans.
If you make it past the primary, will you ask President Nixon to campaign in Alaska for you? This has become an issue in many states and the rest of the country.
Well, first of all, I think probably realistically speaking, Larry, the president is not going to do much extensive campaigning any place for any candidates. In addition to that, I'm running an Alaskan-oriented campaign, and I think I'd rather have other Alaskans speak for me, if in fact anyone does. I don't believe much in the endorsement system anyway. I don't think the coattail system, which is used in ward politics and in other states, works here. I think Alaskans vote for the man based on the issues and the qualifications. And I think I just can take my chances meeting them one-on-one and saying, hey, what do you think?
I heard many people say of you, people that I've talked to in Juneau and in legislative circles, that you're not what would be called a florid orator on the floor of the legislative chamber, that you do a lot of your work in committee and outside of that sphere. And I know you've touched on it before, the statement that you'd rather work with people than talk about them publicly, criticize perhaps a department head to the press or something like that, make a headline. Have you got some kind of a philosophy that you've gone by over the last few years as far as...
I don't believe in legislating by headline hunting. You know, a lot of legislators do that, and it's a convenient re-election tool. But I often believe that you're better off to solve a problem to simply roll up your sleeves, sit down with your fellow legislators, regardless of where they're from, regardless of what their political party is, regardless of what their particular political philosophy is, and say, hey, what's the most common sense way to solve this problem? And I think, and based on my experience at the polls in Fairbanks, the constituency I've represented for so many years now in the legislature, that's what the voters want. That's what they react to. And if you, generally speaking, try to do a good job, and the voters concur with that, and you're going to be returned, and all the headline hunting and all the glamour stuff isn't really necessary at all.
If you had to pick an area of Alaska, as it's generally split up into areas when talking politics, Bush, Central Alaska, South Central Alaska, Southeastern Alaska, which area of the state would you say is going to be your toughest nut to crack?
That's, once again, difficult to say. It's my first statewide campaign. Of course, I feel at home in interior Alaska, having grown up there and having been elected from there. But over the years, not only in my legislative capacity, but in my private pursuits, I've literally crisscrossed and traveled and met people from all over Alaska. So it's difficult to say. Generally speaking, traditionally, for a Republican, the Bush is the more difficult area to carry, but that isn't even true so more, because all Alaskans are voting for the individual. So I guess I'll have to tell you that after I look at the election.
Senator Miller, how do you foresee Alaska changing over the next, say, 10 years? In what ways are the next 10 years perhaps going to be more important than the last 10 or things?
Well, I think the changes in Alaska are going to be phenomenal, and the policy implications here, the challenge here at the state level, with assistance from the federal level, and I can't overemphasize that, are going to be enormous. In a very real sense, I think the next 10 years may decide the next 50. And because of our changing the economic development base, because of our changing values here, as opposed to perhaps what's happening in the rest of the United States, because of the immense amount of money that's going to be coming into Alaska, because we have a capital-intensive industry like oil, we're going to have policy implications here, Larry, that have been unavailable to any other state in any other time, to my knowledge. And it's really very exciting. I think the people of Alaska are extraordinarily fortunate, and I'd like to contribute towards that future as much as I can by bringing to the federal government an insight in the United States Senate that's not there right now.
you're doing something a little out of the ordinary here in that you're beginning to carry on a dialogue with the electorate a bit earlier than has traditionally been the case. Are you going to continue that on a regular basis before the actual primary gets started?
In terms of my media, if that's what you're referring to, yes, it won't be on a regular basis, but I will be coming back intermittently talking with the people of Alaska as budget considerations allow. Yes, I will.
Thank you very much, Senator Miller. I'd like to state once again that this program that you've just seen has not been rehearsed, and I did not talk the questions over with Senator Miller before we started. You know, I am a supporter of Senator Miller and his candidacy for the United States Senate. I tried to phrase the questions as I thought perhaps a newsman sitting in my place would phrase them. We thank you very much for being with us, and good day.
Paid for by Alaska First Committee, Frank King, Chairman. Alaska Music Center.